There are too lengthy a list of things said in these letters from the students, but I'd like to read this one because it's the first one I got, and it shows you that the spirit of the resurrection was captured here very well. Lazarus, O Lazarus, thou slept and thou died, and buried thy separateness, and placed a stone on the birth that is death. Then rolled it away from the death that is birth. Thy heart and thy mind, like the prodigal and his brother, in ultimate oneness rest. Lazarus, come forth, loose thyself from bondage. The Christ weeps still, and the same showering mankind with precious jewels, so near and yet so far. But to touch the hem is of yesteryear. Now is the time, and the holy ground on which I stand. Mankind, come forth. I command thee, take off thy bondage, take off thy bindings, and see. Thou art in the light. Thou art the light itself eternally. Now, if I had told you this was a 14th century poet, you would have said, very lovely. It indicates that the student level is walking right with the Christ, and if this is the consciousness that can walk in our class, this is the type of consciousness that is here, you can be sure that everything we are doing is under ordination. When we did the chapter No End, there were certain selections not discussed, and they're going to be our prelude to the selections taken from Resting in Oneness. Now, these are from No End. They're important because Christ standing at the tomb of Lazarus is saying, only God is, there's no God and a dying Lazarus. There's no God and a lack. There's no God and a disease. There's no God and anything but God. There's no God and a mind that perceives iniquity. In our awareness of the Christ life, there is no God and. All that can exist is that which is divine. All that can exist are the qualities of divinity. We don't have to make them become here. We don't have to make them function. That is all that exists now. And in your acceptance of identity, that is all that exists to you. So, what are you still seeking? If you're still seeking, Lazarus isn't liberated in your consciousness. If there's a you that still seeks, that should be a sign to you that you're stepping out of identity. The Son of God has nothing to seek. The Son of God accepts There is no God end. But don't you see, it's not just a matter of hiding from the things that you want and saying, I don't want them or I don't need them. It far transcends that in the acceptance that I am the Son of God. You are given the priceless truth that all that the Father hath is yours. The life of Lazarus, who was dead, was not visible, but it was there. All that the Father hath is not visible, but it is here. And it comes forth when you are that life. When you are not separating yourself from that life and insisting that there is a life that you are which needs something. The life of God needs nothing. You see the opportunity when you can know that you are the life of God? When you need something, you're denying yourself to be that life. You're dividing yourself from it. You're in the mind that does not know the life of God, and therefore it seeks something. Stop your seeking. Stand ye still. No, but I am the life of God, and all that the Father hath is mine. It must be invisibly present, just as the life of Lazarus was present where the world thought him dead. All that I have sought is present right here where my human mind cannot perceive it or experience it. I was with a student when another student phoned and said she felt miserable. She just couldn't quite get with the day. She wanted to climb the wall, as she put it. And it was so perfectly timed because the student I was with was in a different frame of mind. And although the problems seemed to be very different, they were both problems of being in the human mind. And although it might be difficult to explain to you or to a specific individual, well, your problem is strictly that you're in the human mind, it's much easier when you can see someone else in that condition. So it was easy to say, now this call is from a woman who's in the human mind, and she's suffering from it. And in that human mind, she has a false sense of self, and that's what she's suffering from. She doesn't know she's the child of God right now. The mind of her has created a false sense of self. That mind has lived in that false sense of self for these many years. And that's where she's suffering, in the false sense of self. If she knew who she is, if she were not in that false self, but were in the knowledge of her true self, the suffering would disappear. And suppose you and I then, I said to this student, just rest, knowing her true self and our true self, until our true self and her true self in our consciousness takes over by itself and becomes one wavelength, one self. And when we feel that, let us just be still. And soon we felt the one wavelength, that her self and myself and the self of the one who phoned were one self. We were out of the false self, and by phoning us, she had come to that one self, thinking she had come to a person. And that one self where we were was the one self where she is. And so the one self was animated in her, released into her consciousness, taking her out of false self. And with it went the problem, quickly. Now, you can see that about somebody else. See it about yourself. The only one who seeks or wants or needs or lacks is the false sense of self. If you make the mistake of trying to fulfill the need or the want or the lack, Even when you do, you're still in the false sense of self. And so it's going to come at you in another way, and still another way. But when you face the reality of your being and refuse to be that false sense of self which is not the Son of God, then you will say, I know it seems that I need, I lack, I want, I desire, I'm chasing for this and I'm reaching for that. But why should I? The Son of God, the self-complete. Right now, the invisible fullness of the Father is present here now. I know I can't see it or touch it or find it or pick it up, but what of it? My job is just to know who I am. And then who I am, accepted, becomes the living truth of being. Its omnipotence shines forth. Then in the acceptance, I am come. You lacked? All you lacked was yourself. Every quality you needed was in yourself. Rest in yourself. And the false sense of self, relinquished, reveals that all error was only in that false sense of self. No reasoning is necessary, no truth quotation, no remembrance, just the acceptance of self. And if you can continue to live in self, not accepting the subtle way in which false sense of self comes back into consciousness, watching, knowing, being, by the conditions of the false self will not manifest as powerfully or as frequently. Until all division, all false sense of self being obliterated, the divine qualities of the real self will manifest as change of consciousness, soul body, that body which is eternal and under divine government forever, sustained by the infinite, self-fulfilling, self-revealing, self-maintaining, by grace. Get it all together in that one false self and get rid of it. And then you have no end. Joel says, meditate on the idea of hypnotism as the substance of every form of the mortal or material universe appearing to you. Hypnotism is the substance of every form in the mortal universe. However startling or staggering or vast the idea, it shouldn't be to us. If you saw it 10 years ago, you might be bewildered. Today you should say, of course. Naturally. God made nothing mortal. God made no forms that can pass away. The very fact that a form passes away is an indication that I have seen it incorrectly in the first place. Something else was there. Life. It hasn't passed away. The life is ever present. It never goes anywhere. It not only doesn't die, it doesn't depart. Life cannot go anywhere. Life is everywhere. Strengthening of this consciousness of the life, not the form, not only removes your false sense of self, but your sense of the false self of others. Hypnotism appears as the things of the world. Know it as hypnotism, a false sense of self, and the things of the world are slowly replaced by the life behind them. The life which the things of the world are counterfeiting. We're getting out of the counterfeit, out of the recreated universe, into the living in creation. Out of that mental recreation of the world mind. Out of the mental recreation which calls itself my human self, your human self, your human form. We're saying, come forth to the invisible reality ever present, which was not recreated by the world mind. And when it shows itself forth, you find that it is not capable of being destroyed. It is infinitely governed. It shows forth divinity. It shows forth harmony. It shows forth love. You can recognize that the firstborn, ever present behind the secondborn, which is recreation, is always ready to come forth for the one who is the living Son of God instead of the false mortal self. When you see sin, disease, lack, limitation, remember, it is hypnotism presenting itself as evil forms. And when you see beauty, and this is the part that hurts, when you see beauty all around you, remember that these two are forms of hypnotism, only this time appearing to you as good forms. All form is hypnotism, whether it is good form or evil form. Happy form or unhappy form. Healthy form or unhealthy form. Pure form or adulterated form. If you accept the adulterated form as bad, then you're accepting the other form as good, and you're just as much in error as if you had never thought of the word pollution. There is no physical form created by God. You didn't have to face this at one time, but the Lazarus experience says you must face it. Otherwise, you think Lazarus died. Harry died. Mary died. Life doesn't die. We live in life. And thank heaven, forever and ever and ever, there is no death in life. The illusion of death is gone. It has no meaning. The very death itself is the revelation that what we thought had died was never there. We simply hadn't seen the life there that had not died. We saw the recreation of a false consciousness. This is the continuous purification, the unconditioning, the walking in life, not in concept. Again, says Joel, I say unto you, if you can be made to treat a person in an attempt to change him or give him more of this world's good, or if you can be made to fear war, depression, atomic bombs, you are hypnotized. Then it's only a question of what date will be placed on your tombstone. However, if you catch this vision, when the time comes for you to leave this world, you will step out into a transitional experience, which will be a higher and better one than this one. Lazarus had stepped out into a transitional experience, out of mortal sense into immortality realized. But it was always there to be realized. He didn't attain immortality. It was always his self. Finally, he knew it. Your immortal self is always present. Finally, you accept it, then you realize it, and then you are it. And then hypnotism is over. The immortal self is never hypnotized. Now measure your present state of dominion, and it will tell you the degree to which you have attained the level of immortal self now. Everything wrong is in your mortal sense of self. In your immortal reality now, nothing is wrong. Therefore, the degree of things that are wrong tell you the degree of mortal sense that you still entertain. What is this mortal sense? Why does it possess you when you want to be rid of it? Because it comes like a thief in the night. While you're saying to yourself, but I can't be sick, I'm the Son of God, you're still sick. But at least you're on the right track while you're doing that. And that mind which recognizes the sickness is the last barrier, the last stone to be rolled away. When you can say the mind that sees this sickness does not exist and stand there, it is my experience that a change takes place. This mind that still perceives the sickness is not a true mind. It does not exist. And if you will stay out of that mind for a brief period, in that true silence, the concept of that mind cannot function in the mind that isn't there. And that's all the sickness ever was. As you transcend that belief in a mind, you'll find the divine mind will readjust, and you will have overcome this world, which is nothing but the outer manifestation of the mind that isn't there. Divine mind has no sickness within it. There is not divine mind and another mind. Divine power does not bow down and permit the power of sickness to function. There is divine power and no other power. There is God. There is divine power, divine life, divine self, divine being, divine action, divine law, and none of these are with and. They are self-complete without opposite. The more you can stand in the reality of them, finally needing no mind to stand in them, but to rest in the silence that all that can be present is divine in every way, you will be completely blockaded from mortal thought. You're not a healer this way. You're above that. And you don't have to be healed this way. You're above that. You're the divine Son of God. You neither heal anyone, and neither are you healed. You rest in this divine Son of God, which is the identity of you and the person you thought needed healing. One divine Son of God, not 4 million. One is always your answer, never two. There's never a student and a teacher. There's never a patient and a victim. There's never a patient and a healer. There's never a practitioner and a sick person. There's only one divine self. There's never one smart mind and one dumb mind. There's only one divine mind. There's never one who is wealthy and one who is poor. There's only one divine self. Do not be fooled by twos, threes, tens, and hundreds. Do not be fooled by the many. There's only one. And the more you rout out this many and rest in the one, the more you'll discover dominion takes its own precedence in your consciousness over the appearances of the many in the world. Joel says, you cannot treat a person, you cannot treat a condition. To do that would be like trying to treat the snakes appearing in a flower pot and saying, I've got to get rid of my three snakes. As soon as I got rid of them, I'll be able to study better. Now, do you see how foolish that is? There aren't any snakes. You're never going to get rid of them. All you have to do is get rid of the hypnosis. And when you believe that, you'll no longer have to study truth. Because the only purpose in studying truth is to learn that hypnotism is the only error. You'll find that in your chapter, no end. Hypnotism is the only error. When you've learned that, there's nothing more to study. All the rest is to be lived within your own being. Now, some of us could have used that 5 days ago, and some could have used it 5 months ago. Some can use it this minute. But if we all had it 20 years ago, hypnotism is the only error. If we had been able to work with it, the light that we would send around the world right now would blind the world. The hypnotism that you are not the Son of God, the life of God, is your only error. The hypnotism that your neighbor is not the life of God is part of the same error. One error, hypnotism, that there is something here beside the life of God, the mind of God. And all that the life of God embraces, the mind, the body, the spirit, the soul, the qualities, there's nothing else. The belief that something else exists is the hypnotism. And because that hypnotism takes place in the human mind, we know that the mind itself is part of the hypnotism. The human mind is a state of hypnotism. It is non-existence posing as a thinking mind. You can see nothing on this earth except that which is in your human mind. And your human mind does not exist. Only through the crucifixion of that mind do you crucify the world, do you step into the resurrection of Lazarus' experience. You must crucify that which is not to be resurrected into that which is. Form, body, matter, mind, the motion of matter, the conditions of matter, the activities in time, the activities in space, all this is part of cosmic hypnotism, the one error. I am the Son of God, perfect as my Father, born of the One, sustained by the One, fed by the One, guided by the One, lived by the One, maintained forever in perfection by the One. And let all the hypnotism of the world challenge that as you stand fast. And the power of the One will manifest through every veil. One last statement of Joel's. When you see a so-called evil appearance, sinful, sick, dying, or dead appearance, you're probably tempted immediately to know some truth that you hope can change that picture, or to think some thought that can heal, correct, improve, or reform that picture. Whereas, when you see normal good, normal human health, harmony, wholeness, prosperity, you're most likely willing to accept that picture at its face value. But hypnotism is just as much hypnotism when it appears as good as when it appears as evil. When you become accustomed to observing all harmonious human appearances and all inharmonious human appearances with the same degree of unconcern, you will have arrived at a state of spiritual consciousness in which you see that which is invisible, hear that which is inaudible, and know that which is unknowable. And this is Christ consciousness. Now you see what he's done for us. He's repeated the Lazarus experience in another way. He has removed the world. You can be sure the world was removed when you lay down the false consciousness, put it in a tomb, rest until I come, whose right it is to sit upon the throne. And then when I come forth, all hypnotism of good and bad is gone. All hypnotism of form is gone. For I am the light. I walk in the light. I see the light. I reveal the light. And this light is the life of all men. The life of God on earth now, as it is in heaven. We reach the place where we can begin to walk consciously in the kingdom of heaven, knowing that is all that is here. And all that cannot happen in the kingdom of heaven cannot happen here in the kingdom of heaven. Nothing can happen here in the kingdom of heaven except that which is the activity of God. That's how you can recognize what is and what is not. Only the activity of God can happen. There is nothing in the chapter 11 that you will find in any other gospel. I believe it's the same in chapter 12. What happens now in our John gospel is to bring us the deeper mystical teaching that has escaped the world. Having gone through an exposure to the Lazarus experience, Christ is ready to show us further inner developments which can enable us to walk in oneness in the kingdom of God on earth. We come not as mortals to this class any longer. We speak not to mortals, and we hear not as mortals. We learn to accept that the life of God being immortal, that life being my life, I am the immortal life of God now. And I live as that immortal life, accepting no other, no substitute in myself or in my neighbor, secretly, sacredly living the immortal life while appearing in the mortal form, knowing that mortal form can be laid down at will, for the immortal life will continue to live itself without the experience of sickness, disease, or death of any kind. Thanks again.